As we come to the Word of God, what a joy it is to serve the Lord, to sing to the Lord, and to hear the preaching of the Word. Worship does not stop when we stop singing. We're continuing in worship now as we open up the Word of God and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." I want to introduce you this morning to Kevin. You know, in some ways, Kevin is not your typical church member. He teaches Sunday school there in his mid-sized church there in Texas. Folks love his engaging, his enthusiastic style that he couples with depth. And out of all the classes in his church, Kevin's church is his class is growing. Out of all the classes in his church, Kevin's class, it's grown the most. He regularly reads Christian books and listens to just about every podcast you can imagine. He listens to preachers and podcasts and all these different things where he's learning about God and the things of God. They're discussing the faith. They're going deeper into theology and doctrine. Kevin is hungry to grow and to understand the Bible. And you know, Kevin is not only a great teacher, he's also a great tither. He's a true tither in his financial support of the church. He supports the church also, though, regularly by his attendance, by volunteering, several ministries of the church he has made his own. And so Kevin is not your typical church member, and he's actually rather outstanding. But in one way, Kevin is your typical church member. If you were to ask Kevin, how many times have you shared the good news of Jesus Christ in the last 6 months? And if Kevin were to be brutally honest, Kevin would answer, "I don't tell anybody about Jesus. I don't tell anybody about Jesus." That's the title of this morning's message. Yeah, Kevin talks about Jesus in his Sunday school class and with his Christian friends and his Christian circles, but outside of his Christian circles, Kevin doesn't tell anyone about Jesus. And sadly, that makes up the average church member in America. Lifeway Research, which is the research arm of Lifeway Christian Stores, it found in a research project that 83% of churchgoers, they're comfortable letting people know that they're Christians, right? Maybe you're here this morning and you have no problem letting people know that you're a Christian. You are proud to be a Christian. You're not hiding it. You're not cowering. You're not trying to pretend to be something that you're not. So you're proud to be a Christian. 83% of churchgoers are glad for other people to know that they are a Christian. They also found that 75% of churchgoers believe that they can effectively share their faith in Jesus with somebody. In other words, they feel equipped to tell somebody all about Jesus. So there are high levels of comfort in being recognized as a Christian, that there's a high level of feeling equipped to tell people about Jesus. But here's the thing that boggles the mind, okay? 61% of churchgoers had not shared with anybody how to become a Christian in the last 6 months. So the vast majority of churchgoers, they're comfortable letting others know that they're a Christian. And the vast majority of churchgoers believe they can share their faith. They feel comfortable sharing their faith. But the majority, again, of churchgoers never tell anybody about Jesus. And Kevin is one of those guys. Is that you? Are you one of those folks? Are you part of that 61% that never tells anybody about Jesus? Today we're going to continue in our Christian Atheist series. A Christian atheist is somebody who claims to believe in God but lives like God does not really exist. And I declare to you this morning, the one who believes in Jesus but never talks about him outside of these walls, outside of your home, outside of your car, if you never open your mouth and say, "Jesus saved me and he can save you too, here's how," then you are living as a Christian atheist. The Bible's clear that we the saved, We, the saved, are to tell others how to get saved with us, right? Don't we want other people to go to heaven with us? Man, it's going to be the biggest party on the face of the, you know, ever, okay? There's never been a better party. I want it to be full. We, the saved, are to tell others how to get saved. We who follow Christ are to help others follow Christ, learn how to follow Christ. We who've had our lives changed, not only today, but for eternity, are to engage in the work of helping Jesus change the lives of other people for eternity. And perhaps there's no clearer passage that's what you and I are to be about than our passage this morning. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. I'm going to invite you this morning to stand for the reading of God's word, just as an opportunity to honor God's word. It's all true. It's sufficient for our life. It's directly from God through the apostles and prophets to us for the equipping of the saints. And here's what it says. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, here it is, church, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray together. Father, this is your word. And I pray, God, that it would not stop with our ears, that would get into our brain and then down into our heart and then come out in our lives. We want to follow you. We want to show the world that we love you. And we want to tell the world about you, about your son. And so, Father, work in our midst today, we pray. Amen. Grab your seat if you would, please. So, beloved, as we look at the Bible here, as we open up the Word of God, it's clear that you and I, we've been commissioned. That's the word that we usually apply to this passage, the Great Commission. We've been commissioned to tell the world about the good news of Jesus Christ, about how Jesus lived and died to save every sinner who will repent and believe on Jesus. That is our job. So here's today's task. We're going to answer this question. How do I faithfully go about telling people about Jesus? And I see five things here in the text that I want to share with you this morning. Five things here in our text. How do I faithfully go about telling people about Jesus? The first thing is simply to surrender to Jesus' authority. Surrender to Jesus' authority. You see, our text today, it's situated between the resurrection and the ascension, right? It's after the cross. So it's after the part in the story of Jesus when he paid for the sins of everyone who will repent and believe on him, right? It's after the resurrection, right? He's already risen from the dead, proving the debt of sin had been paid, proving that he had gained victory over sin, death, and the devil. And so here we are between the resurrection and the ascension when he would go to be with the Father in heaven. And he had a very short window, 40 days. He knew he only had a few short weeks with the disciples before he'd be taken away and the Holy Spirit would come. And so he pulled them together and he gave them marching orders. He gave them a job description. He declared to them the Great Commission that we see here in Matthew 28. Now, guys, when it comes to the Great Commission, we often skip over verse 18, don't we? We just go to verse 19 because that's where the commandment is found. That's where the commission is found. But here we go, guys. We shouldn't miss verse 18. Verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Jesus. That means that every ounce of authority in the existence of the universe has been given to Jesus, right? He's the commander in chief. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. And he's about to command something here. But before he commands anything, he establishes his authority to command it. So guys, just plain and simple, evangelism, telling people about Jesus, is an authority issue. It's an authority issue in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus, who has all the authority in heaven and earth, he's commanded us to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's made it clear. So the question is not, should I share the gospel? What's the answer to that question? Should I share the gospel? Yes, yes. Let's settle that now. It's been commanded. Jesus has clearly given you the marching orders, right? It's not optional. So that means that you and I, we've got to get our minds right. We've got to get our hearts right. So the question's not, should I share the gospel? The question is this, will I surrender to Jesus' authority by sharing the gospel? Guys, to share it with nobody is to be disobedient to God. So again, we've got to get our minds right. We've got to understand that telling people about Jesus isn't optional. And we've got to get our hearts right, right? If we love Jesus and if we love people, we keep his commandments and tell the world about Jesus. Surrender, guys, to Jesus' authority. Second this morning, as we think about how do I faithfully tell everybody about Jesus, secondly, we have to make telling people about Jesus a regular part of our life. It has to become a regular part of our life. Look at verse 19. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And although most of our English translations, it sort of misses, it doesn't really capture exactly what the Greek says here, right? The word go in the original Greek New Testament is actually a participle. It's an ing word. ING, right? Going. So a more straightforward translation of the Greek would be this. As you are going, make disciples. Make disciples as you're going. You see, when you and I read this, when we read it in the English, go and make disciples, we picture going and getting on an airplane and going to China or going to South Africa or Canada or just somewhere else, in Indonesia, Romania, somewhere else. We're going to go somewhere else and make disciples. And that's all well and good, amen? We should go and make disciples over there as well. But guys, Jesus wasn't necessarily telling us to get on an airplane. He wasn't necessarily telling us to get on an airplane. He was talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Telling people about Jesus should be a regular part of our lives. Now, Thursday, I went and got milk for the pancake breakfast. And just real quickly, how about a big round of applause for those that served at the pancake breakfast this morning, huh? Even if you didn't come, praise God that they came and they served. But I went and bought gallons of milk at Kroger on the bypass there. And as you always have to check, you have to check that expiration date, don't you? I mean, when's this going to go bad? And every one of them had an expiration date or a sell before date of November 7th. That means these gallons of milk, they're going to go bad, right? They're not going to be good forever. They're going to spoil. And can I just say to you this morning that the Great Commission, it has an expiration date as well. You're like, well, wait, what do you mean, Ben? I thought we were supposed to do it forever. Well, it does have an expiration date. The return of Jesus, okay? So that means you can stop when Jesus returns, all right? When you see him coming down from heaven and you see the saints raptured up to meet him in the air as he descends to set up his kingdom on earth, then and only then do you have full permission to stop sharing the gospel. When you get raptured up, brother, just enjoy the ride, okay? Woo! Don't say anything about, come on, because it's too late at that point, okay? But until then, you and I, we're to be about sharing the gospel. It shouldn't just be something we do. It should be who we are, right? It should become a regular part of our life. We can become habituated in so many things, can't we? And we can become habituated in anything. It's just how the human body works and the human psyche works. What if we became habituated in sharing the gospel? What if it simply became a habit that you and I pick up? And what a glorious habit that would be. There was a guy named Maxwell Maltz. He was a plastic surgeon in the 1950s, and he began to notice that with his patients, that it would take them, let's say they get a nose job, for instance. He'd give them a nose job. He found that it would take them about 21 days before they became adjusted to the new nose. That when they walked up there, the new nose didn't surprise them. It took them about 21 days to get accustomed, used to looking at their new nose. Or maybe when a patient got a leg amputated, he noticed again that it would take about 21 days before that phantom limb would kind of go away and they adjusted to the new situation. And so he began to think, you know what, I have a theory. I think it takes about 21 days to develop a new habit. He wrote this. He said, "These and many other commonly observed phenomena tend to show that it requires a minimum of about 21 days for an old mental image to dissolve and a new one to gel." Now, of course, I mean, he's talking anecdotally here. There was no research to back that up. And so researchers have actually taken to task on that. And they wanted to find out how long does it really take. And so they put the theory to test. And here's what they found out. They found he was onto something. They found that to develop a habit, it takes on average just over 2 months. 66 days on average, to be exact, for a new behavior to become automatic, for it to become a habit, all right? Now, guys, that applies to many things in your life. But what if that applied to us sharing the gospel, the priority to tell others about Jesus Christ? How would your life change? How would the life of others around you change if for the next 66 days you made it a priority every day to tell somebody about Jesus? Man, somebody ought to make that a movement. Pick it up, run with it. Man, that should be a movement, the 66-day movement. However you go about it, guys, we need to strive to tell people about Jesus. We need to make it a regular part of our life. Third this morning, we need to strive to make telling Jesus about Jesus. We need to take advantage. If we're going to faithfully tell people about Jesus, we have to take advantage of every opportunity. I believe this is connected to that idea in Matthew 28:19. As you are going, make disciples of all the nations. As you go about life, in and out, here, there, when the opportunity arises, you take it. And you open your mouth and you tell people about Jesus. But you know what? If we just passively sit by and we just sort of passively go through life, it may be 6 months and you never tell anybody about Jesus. So what does that mean? When I say take the opportunity, take advantage of every opportunity, sometimes, guys, you have to make the opportunity come to pass, right? You've got to provide opportunities for it to actually happen, for you to take it. Make the opportunity so you can take the opportunity. We got to intentionally work to make opportunities happen. We need to aim to share Jesus every day. And when that opportunity arises, we've got to make the most of it. Listen to what John 9:4 said. Jesus said this. He said, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work no more." Guys, we've got to be ready to open our mouths and proclaim that Jesus saves sinners and that every sinner who will repent of their sin and believe on Jesus will be saved. You know, one time a pastor, he had a golden opportunity to go share the gospel with a man. He had a captive audience. He was in a hospital bed. One day he got a call from a member of his church saying that her dad was close to death. Her dad's name was Frank. And Frank had come to church some with his daughter, but he wasn't a regular attender. He was skeptical of Jesus. He was skeptical of pastors. And so this concerned daughter called the pastor and said, "Would you please go visit my dad so that he might have at least one more opportunity to repent and trust in Jesus before he dies?" And so the pastor made the trip to the hospital, and he walked down this long, sterile hallway, and he glanced in each room as he walked by, and he wondered about the patients. He thought, man, that one will never make it. Or that one might return to a life, but it probably won't be that long of a life. And when he reached Frank's room, he walked in nervous. Frank, he looked yellow, deathly yellow as he lay on that bed. And even if God performed a miracle, I mean, Frank wouldn't live that much longer. I mean, he was 82 years old already. He didn't have that many more years to live anyway. And so when Frank heard the preacher enter the room, he kind of perked up a little bit. He seemed glad for a visitor, even if it was a pastor. And not wanting to come across like this typical fire and brimstone preacher, the pastor, he kept the conversation light. The whole time they talked about, you know, this and that, a small talk. He kept looking for this opportune chance to shift the gospel or shift the conversation toward the gospel. They talked about their favorite football teams. Frank, he loved the Redskins and hated the Cowboys. No amens, please. No. There was no easy way at that point to jump from football to that, to the gospel. Frank told the pastor about his grandson and how his grandson was playing on the varsity baseball team as a sophomore. And again, the pastor just couldn't find a way to segue in to the gospel. They chatted about the unseasonably hot weather. The preacher considered talking about how hot it is in hell, but he thought, nah, I better not say that. And so they just kept on talking, and the perfect opportunity to move into a spiritual conversation never came. And so the pastor, he decided to not force it. He said, I'll come back tomorrow, he told himself. I've developed a good relationship with the guy today. Tomorrow I'll come back, and I'll try to talk him into Jesus and eternity. Well, the following morning, as he walked down the aisle or the hallway there in the hospital, he turned the corner to Frank's room, and he couldn't see Frank because there were people standing all around Frank's bed. And instantly, he realized what had happened. Just a few moments before that pastor had gotten there, Frank had died, and all the people had gathered around him to say goodbye to him. Frank's body was still warm, but at that moment, guys, that pastor's heart felt suddenly cold with disappointment in himself. Guys, you and I have to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us. We are tempted by our flesh and by the devil to just be quiet. We don't want to rock the boat, but we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I mean, we don't want to see like a religious zealot or one of those Bible thumpers. And so we clam up and we shut up and we hold back from those that need the message of life, the message of life, right? We hold back what they need the most. Guys, we should never let an opportunity pass us by. I want to turn our attention here for our final few moments together to a specific opportunity that we have, a specific opportunity that we have that you and I should take advantage of to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that need Jesus Christ. Yesterday here at Eastwood Baptist Church, we launched our first ever adoption and foster support group. I want to draw your attention this morning, just a moment, about how adopting and fostering can be an intentional opportunity to tell a child about Jesus who may not otherwise ever hear about Jesus. Have you ever thought about fostering an adoption from a gospel-centered, a gospel-focused lens? I personally see direct application here, don't you? I see direct application, direct opportunities for Christians to extend the gospel to hurting children in Kentucky and around the world through adoption and foster care. Yes, they need homes. Yes, they need food. Yeah, they need clothing. Yes, they need love. But most of all, guys, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. I've got a video for you to watch for just a moment this morning from Sunrise Children's Services, which is affiliated with the Kentucky Baptist Convention. The title of this video is When I See You. Direct your attention to that.
When you see a dumpster, you see garbage. I see my next meal.
When you see baseball, you see a sport. I see a bat.
When you see a bedroom, you see rest. I see nightmares.
When you see a closet, you see coats. I see a place to hide.
When you see Dad's hand holding Mom's, I see Dad's hand hitting Mom.
But when I see you, I see love.
When I see you, I see hope.
When I see you, I see kindness.
When I see you, I see peace.
And when I see you, I see a future.
James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Friends, think about this stat for just a moment. It's estimated that 17.8 million true orphans, or what they might call a double orphan, one who's lost their mom and their dad, there's 17.8 million true orphans in the world. Just to give you some perspective, guys, that's more than the population of the state of Tennessee, the state of Kentucky, and the state of Indiana all put together. This is a global crisis. It's not just a crisis in other nations either, right? It's a crisis right here. In America, 120,000 orphans are counted in America. Many of them are in foster families waiting to be adopted. Still another 400,000 children or so are in the foster care system. Most of them, they hope to be reunited with their birth families. But for many of them along the way, the goal will be changed from reunification to adoption. Here in Kentucky, right here at home in the bluegrass, at any given time, there are between 6,000 and 7,000 children in foster care. Now, you can become a foster parent through the state, but you can also become a foster parent through independent foster providers. For instance, the video we just saw was put out by the Sunrise Christian Services. It's the largest independent provider of foster care in the Commonwealth. They typically have a census of just above 1,000 children in their care. Now, Pastor Tom James, the lead pastor here at Eastwood, he preaches at the East Campus. He's on the board of Sunrise, and he told me this week that there are many times that Sunrise has to turn away children because they don't have enough foster parents. I wonder this morning, if you would dare ask God. See, that you're taking a risk even asking him, right? Father, would you have my family to become a foster parent? Or, Father, would you have my family to adopt a child and bring them into a forever family? Adoption experts, here's what they tell us. They tell us that in America, 81.5 million Americans consider adoption. They think about it. They look into it. They look up information and they hear things and they think it's a good idea. But still, we have 120,000 children in America waiting to be adopted. If there are 81.5 million Americans who are considering adoption, if just one in 500 of these who are considering it, if just one in 500 adopted children, think about this, then every child waiting to be adopted in America would have a permanent family. Wouldn't that be amazing to see orphans no longer to exist in America, that everyone would have a family, a place to call home? And just a perk, let me throw this out here for you as you dare to ask God about this. If God leads you to adopt and you go through Sunrise Children's Services, listen to this, Especially you ladies who are, you're out for a bargain. If you're like my wife, you're always looking for a bargain. Let me give you a bargain here. There is absolutely no cost to you whatsoever when you adopt through Sunrise Children's Services. They cover all the fees for you. I pray that you would not see it, this as what I'm saying is disjointed from telling the world about Jesus. I pray that you would see foster care and adoption ministries as a direct expression, a direct application of how you as a Christian can impact a child's life for Jesus. It's one thing to go somewhere for a week and to tell strangers that you'll meet one time about Jesus. That's awesome. We should do it. But it's another thing to bring a child into your home and to get the opportunity to kiss them goodnight every night and say, Jesus loves you and would love for you to trust in him. Jesus said this in Matthew 25, verse 40. He said, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You know, I believe that children who are displaced from their birth home and are now in foster care, and many of whom are now awaiting adoption, I believe that they are heavy on the heart of Jesus. And we, church, have a massive opportunity sitting right in front of us. Man, what an opportunity. May we take full advantage of it. I had planned to say more this morning on this passage, but as I was preparing and looking over and praying through the message this morning, the Lord said, stop right here. And so I'm going to. I pray that you would honor the preaching of God's word today, not by letting this fall on deaf ears, but you'd be a hearer and a doer. Here's my final prayer. May we tell all about Jesus to all the people in all the places we go all the time.